Hi, and welcome to Strangers on the Internet, a podcast about making online dating work for you. My name is Irina Mehta, and I'm a professor at the Maurice A. Dean School of Law at Hofstra University. I'm also a dating coach and a consultant for the dating app industry.
And I'm Michelle Lang, a senior lecturer in psychology at Christopher Newport University in Virginia, and a clinical psychologist in private practice. All views expressed on this podcast are our own and not our employers.
Dating people from work has been in the news lately. Is it a good idea, however, or do the risks outweigh the benefits? We will delve into it on today's episode. As dating app fatigue has set in for some people, individuals are exploring other options for meeting significant others. Shortly before we recorded this episode, Fortune had an article about Gen Z's interest in dating at work, whose link you can find in our show notes. Indeed, the article mentioned research from February 2024 finding that 17% of people are dating someone at work, and that 49% have had a crush on someone at work. The article also, however, told a few stories in which things got really awkward after office romance gone wrong. Michelle, what were your reactions to the article?
I mean, I had several. And of course, first, I think it had me reflecting on my own experiences and what I've known anecdotally from other people. And I would say those largely are neutral to negative when it comes to dating somebody from work. Although there are some marriages I know of. Now, I don't know how happy those marriages are on the inside. I only know what they might look like on the outside. And even then, I wonder, when you are in a relationship with somebody from work, is there a sense of obligation you feel to stick with it, regardless of how happy it may or may not be, because of what it might mean to change things? So it certainly had me reflecting on, as I said, my own experiences and what I've seen from other people. And then other than that, I think I focused in on the statistics that you mentioned, as well as some others. The article also talked about how different generations felt about dating people from work. And I noticed that Gen Z is higher than the other generations as far as their enthusiasm or ideas about that this might be a good idea. So I honed in on that stuff. As far as the statistics, you know, maybe we start with the largest one first. The 49% have had a crush on somebody from work, which is different, right, than actually following through and dating somebody from work. I think that number is unsurprising to me. The 49%, so that's like one in two people have had a crush on somebody from work. I think we can unpack that and look at, why are those numbers so high? To me, the obvious answer there is because you only see bits of people at work. And generally speaking, it is their best selves that they're presenting because they understand that they're being evaluated on a professional level by how they behave. And so people typically don't show the worst of themselves in a professional capacity. So I think when you're interacting with somebody and you're only seeing the good and you are only seeing this limited subset of their lives, you're not seeing what they do in their downtime, how they talk to people in a non-professional setting, how good of a job they do at being there for you as a teammate, as a partner, rather than in a work setting. There's just so much you don't see, and you see people on their best behavior. So I think that 50% made sense, but I really think that should serve as a warning to everyone that you know how you act at work versus how you act at home, and you know other people in your life. You know, certainly there's been times where you maybe stayed up too late the night before, you pulled it together and slapped on your makeup and a professional outfit and went and pretended for the day that you were in good shape when maybe you weren't, or days where you maybe are not feeling your best mental health wise, but you put on the happy face, you go to work. I mean, we all know that we can play a little bit of a role at work if we feel so inclined. And so I think it's really important to people to remember it makes sense why you might have a crush on somebody from the office, but to remember you don't actually know them outside of that context. What are your thoughts? What are some things that stood out to you from the article?
Yeah, wow. I think you're making some really good points about, you know, I was thinking it's also unsurprising just because of how much time people spend at work, right? Yes. So, like, that's what they're surrounded by. And yeah, and maybe someone's nice and maybe they're genuinely nice, or like you said, maybe there's actually, this is actually a persona, and depending on the job and the environment, it's probably going to be more or less fake, and depending on the person, yeah, right? But definitely, like, people show up more put together than average, from the way they dress to, you know, they might not put certain things on display, certain emotional difficulties or things that might arise in the rest of their life. So yeah, that all makes a lot of sense to me. I was actually surprised at the 17% number. Like, that seemed really high about how many people are dating someone from work. Now, look, there are some industries where we expect to see some of that. So for example, you know, we had our episode with Derek Bambauer where we talked about how, well, if people move to like a university town and they're academics, like, many of them are going to tend to date other academics. Certainly also, I guess, we don't want to date other academics, right? But certainly some of them do. And so there, it's especially tricky, right? Because if people break up, what's that going to do? I don't know, at like faculty meetings and things like that, if you're literally in the same department, especially. But I've also seen people handle it perfectly maturely. And so, you know, there's a bit of a, it makes me also think about this kind of concern that some universities will express about, oh, we don't want a married couple in the same department because what if they get divorced? And it's like, yeah, well, depending on what location you're in, that's really going to be the only way you're going to get certain people. So I think ultimately, like, that's a consideration also. But what I was also thinking about more generally is, okay, what are some of the best case scenarios and some of the worst case scenarios of what would come out of this? And best case, sure, like, it works out great and people get married and either they stay at the same job or they don't. But if they do, it's like this harmony, ideally, where it's like, oh, they work together well at home and they work together well in the business world or wherever they're working. And so on the other hand, right, like, what if you have a bad breakup and it's somewhere where you're working closely with someone, or it's somewhere where switching jobs is especially difficult? And this last one, academia, is again one of them. But I would also say, I mean, one overarching thing we must mention, even though I think it's obvious, but is that, you know, people should not engage in romantic relationships at work if it's going to break any of their contractual obligations, or if it's going to go into sexual harassment territory, because, you know, I don't want, and frankly, even if it's not spelled out explicitly, but there is a problematic power dynamic, like, those are situations where I'm like, no, like, you really, really need to stay away from that. And you don't want to be pressuring someone or be perceived as pressuring someone into dating you. And so that is really, really problematic. But do you think, like, how it all plays out is going to be different based on industry or job type? Is it more dangerous in some settings than others?
I mean, that's probably right. Like, you know, I think creatives are known for dating other creatives, but, like, if I'm, you know, I'm thinking about celebrities, like, they'll meet on a movie and that's where their relationship will form. But they're not working on that movie for forever. Like, they're still working in the industry, but at least they're not working with each other every day all the time. And so, you know, like, in industries like that where you might work together and that's how you meet, but you're not always going to be working together, that feels a bit lower stakes as far as what it means that you are getting into. And then, like you said, with academia, it is a world where people have to move for their jobs. And if you meet somebody along the way who you want to form a life with, you want to get married to, then yeah, what's that practically mean for you? If I move for my job, you've got to move for yours too. And so yes, in some fields, it just comes with the territory as a distinct possibility and something that you're going to see more of than in other fields. So, I mean, I think that's right. I also really, of the points you brought up just now, I think one that's really important to make sure that people are mindful of, particularly these younger listeners. And, you know, if we're looking at the statistics from the article about Gen Z, I believe it was something like 33% of them. It was definitely around a third were like, yeah, I'm for, like, office relationships sound fine. You know, they are also younger, and you wonder who they're talking about relationships with. Is it same age coworkers or is it older coworkers? Because if we talk to that idea you had mentioned earlier about power imbalances. I mean, that can be so problematic. And I don't mind sharing that I have on multiple occasions since my earliest, my first job at Blockbuster Video, which doesn't even exist anymore, but back when I was 17, it did. You know, I had a crush on one of the managers. And that sounds so funny now, but you know, I was a 17-year-old, and he was in his 20s and seemed so smart and knowledgeable. And I guess I was a little attracted to the power thing, even though it was just power at Blockbuster, whatever, that was a big deal to me at the time. And, you know, he reciprocated that interest, and that makes stuff weird. After a while, it was obviously he was the one who should have known better, but I hope something that we are conveying to our listeners is be cautious, especially if there's that power dynamic, because things can get super weird after that. If it doesn't work out, honestly, even if it does and other people know about it, other people might start treating you weird because they assume that you're getting special privileges because they know who you're dating at work. You might really lose respect, lose friendships, lose allies in that kind of way. And then certainly if it doesn't work, I've had multiple examples of this. But yeah, I mean, starting then, I've always kind of been attracted to people in power and also people who are older than me. And then you couple that with where you're spending all of your time and what we were talking about earlier about how people can really put their best face forward at work and it may not be who they are in the rest of life. So like the Blockbuster manager guy had a girlfriend I didn't know about the entire time who was away at college. And that's why I didn't know about her. And finally, I guess when it was like, I don't know, summer or something, and she was returning, that's when he called off things between us. And I found out from others that he had been with her the entire time. And he had just, you know, not talked to me about her. And he had, I think, encouraged other people to not mention it either. And so, you know, there's stuff like that. The people who are in the positions of power often treat it more flippantly because they know that they're not going to be the one whose life has to change if it doesn't work out. I had another situation when I was an intern where my supervisor at the place where I was interning, this was for my doctorate degree, the supervisor had a crush on me. And I, you know, he wasn't misreading things from me entirely. Like there was that attraction to power and there was an attraction to his personality. I mean, I did have that, but I never crossed any kind of lines. Like I never suggested that I was into him romantically. I mean, I think there was some connection there, but I never suggested that I was interested in anything romantic with him. And he was the one to kind of broach it. He brought it up and I shut it down immediately when he did and said, no, like that, you know, I really do like you as a person, but this is not a path I want to go down. And after that, he started being rude to me in meetings in front of other people. And I was really worried because I had put him down as a reference where I was applying for like my official internship. This was like it's called a practicum, but it was something I needed to do before my official internship. And he was a reference for me. And this was during the period where they might be calling references. And I felt very scared about what it could mean if they actually called him and because I had rejected him, if he would say something that would cost me getting this internship that I needed for my degree. So I actually brought it to my program. I said, look, this has happened. Like, I need help. What do I do? They were not helpful. I've since received apologies from them since the whole Me Too thing. Some people reached out and were like, yeah, we should have supported you more back then. But at the time, I mean, the only thing they did do to help was they told me that I did not have to finish my remaining practicum hours there. It was towards the end of the year anyway. There was only a few weeks left. And they told me I didn't have to finish it. They told me that they would not be sending students to that site in the future. So that's something they did for students in the future. But, you know, I didn't have to finish my practicum, but like I liked my practicum. Like I wanted to finish the practicum. But there was, practically speaking, that site didn't need me, but they needed him. And so he got to continue on with his job unencumbered. And the whole reason I had to leave was because he decided to treat me like an asshole, like he was an asshole to me, and made it an uncomfortable workplace for me. But he was more valuable to the company than I was, being in a higher position. So the only solution was for me to go. And I think it's important for people, particularly Gen Z people or anyone who's considering a workplace relationship with somebody in a higher position than them, like, that's probably how it's going to play out, is unless you have some documentable evidence that HR is really going to think it's going to look bad on them if they perform any other kind of way. Practically speaking, they need the person in the higher position and they're going to try to keep that person and keep that person happy. And I think it's so important that people be aware that there's a different calculus for somebody lower on the hierarchy and considering dating somebody from the workplace than somebody who's higher on the hierarchy who really isn't going to give it as much thought.
Wow. I'm really sorry this happened. And I think it's a very illustrative story. It's sad in many different ways, but one of them is like, you didn't even have a relationship with him. You didn't even put yourself in a sort of risky category. You were just like a normal, friendly person and that's it, right? And so that, you know, that's really awful. I'm wondering also if, you know, even when people are at the same level or a similar level, like what if they have a mentor or a friend in the, let's say in a company that will maybe not treat you well because let's say you broke up with that person or that person maybe lies to them about how something in the relationship went down. And like, even when it's people of the same level, I could imagine like others getting dragged into it. And that's one of the questions that I had also for you is, do you think other people at work often get dragged into an office romance, like for better or worse? So for better, like maybe they're really rooting for the couple and that's great. Or for worse, like they start getting involved into conflicts or like have to take sides or have to act or decide to act a certain way.
I would think so. I mean, I would definitely think at the very least, this idea of taking sides, should it not work out or if there is a conflict between the parties, I do feel like coworkers feel more aligned with one or the other person. And that might be for personal reasons, but it might be for professional reasons. And that can be really hurtful to somebody if you're like, I thought we were friends and they're thinking, well, we are, but the person you were with is more relevant to my own professional life or professional trajectory. I can't afford to turn on them. Or so I just think, I do imagine that coworkers feel put in a position to take sides. I don't know, you know, whether or not the former couple is pressuring for that or not. And it could be one or both members that could be pressuring people to take sides. But I do think it's in human nature when somebody breaks up and you know both of the parties to feel more aligned with one than the other. And that, I think, certainly could create an awkward situation for coworkers too. What are your thoughts?
Well, okay, I hate to bring it up because it's a bit of a crass expression, but it is one that often comes up in this particular context, right? You know what I'm going to say. And that's like, don't shit where you eat, yeah, right? And, you know, I mean, I've heard people use that expression when discussing this kind of situation. And like, it despite the crassness, it has perhaps some relevance and some lessons to teach here.
I really think so.
Because it's just, even if other people don't get dragged into it, if we look at the Fortune article, there are people telling stories about being ghosted. Like, can you imagine being ghosted by a coworker or like having to like, or feeling like you have to avoid the floor where they work? Like, just all these complications. And there's just so much stress and anxiety surrounding exes as it is. You know, one thing I wanted to say about Gen Z is, I don't know if this is related to the stereotype that at least exists about Gen Z not having as strong of a need for privacy as other generations, because they're used to having their whole life put on display on social media, like their whole or almost their whole lives. And maybe that's also why they separate some things less, including like separating the work sphere from the personal sphere. Or you sometimes see, right, people also kind of ranting about their workplace on social media or something that happened. So I'm wondering if this all kind of gets, you know, mixed together and into one sometimes unhappy ball. I don't know. I mean, people don't always think ahead, right? Like, they fall for someone, the infatuation is so strong. We've discussed in many episodes in many different contexts. We've talked about it even as related to addiction. And so they just don't think ahead. And there's this optimism bias on the part of many people where they're like, oh, it's, of course it's going to work out. Or of course we're going to be friends. And it's like, well, are you really going to be friends if, like, the person ghosts you? Like, how are you going to do that? Like, they literally don't want to talk to you.
Are you going to be friends if one of you catches stronger feelings and the other doesn't and it has to end for that reason? Like, are you going to be friends if one person feels spurned?
There's just so many ways this could go sideways. And, you know,
another thing too, which I can think of an example of where exactly this happened. But, you know, if somebody shows a willingness to date somebody from work, that doesn't mean that they're only willing to date just you from work. And so if you guys are together and break up, or they, you know, and now they start dating somebody new from work, or you guys are together and don't break up and they start dating somebody new from work. I mean, you just kind of need to be mindful of, once people show that willingness, that may not just apply to you. And now you've got to think about that too. Like, how would you feel if now another coworker is dating your former partner, or if that coworker had an affair with your current, but now hopefully former partner? You know, it gets messy. And if you, I think you're just absolutely right about both. Don't shit where you eat. And that idea of, so that, and also that people aren't thinking ahead. I mean, I just think those are just such important, like, look, there's a reason that saying exists, and this is not an occasion to reinvent the wheel. Like, sometimes we really should reflect on why some of these sayings seem to continue on through time across circumstances and realize maybe it's because it's true. Maybe it's because this really would be bad for me. And really think long and hard about the potential for risk versus the potential for benefit. And not just, as you said, not just short-term benefit, but long-term. What is the likelihood that this relationship is going to work out over the long-term versus the likelihood that it isn't, which is the greater likelihood? And how are you going to feel if it doesn't work out? What might that change for you about your work satisfaction? Man, there's just something to be said for separating your work and personal life. And, you know, I've seen it in other areas too, with friendships as well. I mean, I had an experience, and so I think there can be a parallel drawn here. But when I first moved to the location of one of my jobs, I made friends with people from the office. It was people around my age, people who I enjoyed. We had things in common. The nature of what we were doing, like counseling, you know, meant we had some things in common. We were friends. But when there was an issue with one of the friendships where I actually have spoke about this on this show before, but where I expressed concern to one of these coworker friends about the extreme behaviors in her relationship that seemed to be causing distress for her, she dropped me as a friend, and then it got weird at work because she was my work. I mean, she was my friend, but she was also a coworker. Also, I had not really bothered to make friends outside of work because I was so tight with my work friends. And it was a good reminder for me, oh no, this changes things. I mean, there's something to be said for separating work from personal life. So, and that something is, if something goes wrong in one of those areas, at least you've got the other area. Something doesn't go wrong across the board. And I just really would caution our listeners, what are the odds? I get that it's easy to meet somebody at work. And as the article talked about, they said, well, look, it's so different than meeting somebody online, because online you don't actually know anything about them. You only know what they're selectively telling you, which may or may not even be true. And there's a lot of duds and there's a lot of bad behavior, lots of ghosting. You know, it's just so much effort that yields just a lot of frustration and disappointment. Whereas at least at work, I know something about this person. We know people in common. I know that they're, I don't know, at least a good worker. They show some positive things, and I have some sense of who they are. And people are just speaking in the article so optimistically about this idea. But I just think, okay, but aren't there nice people? I mean, isn't there another option besides just the crappy state of the apps and meeting people at work. Like, I really think let's not turn this into a dichotomy, because there are some real risks, as we've been discussing, dating with somebody at work too. Man, if you like your job, you don't want to have to question, do I have to leave this place in order to be happy?
Yeah, there's so much there, Michelle. I mean, for one, maybe we need to sort of separate when we say work, like whether we literally mean that office or yeah. like a general industry, or maybe even multiple offices of the same company, right? So there are different gradations there, and for how problematic something is likely to get. Like in the conversations we had with, you know, with Derek, I think there were just some real difficulties in some places to find a dating pool. Now you can still, you know, date outside of your department at least. So yeah. even there might be things you might be able to do that are going to be less dramatic, because different departments in the university don't necessarily interact like that much with one.
And like that would be similar in other workplaces too. Like different departments, it really might be like, I never see this person at work.
Yeah. But I think the other thing that happens is in some jobs where people have very little free time. So for example, corporate law, right? Or investment banking, certainly all things big here in New York, but also some of them also big in other places, consulting, right? Like this is where people, like, let's say litigation, you might be working on the same case for months, right? And you might really be working, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week with the same people, and you might not really see anyone else, right? Like there's yeah. not a whole lot of time to go through. So I understand how it happens.
The draw of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And just that sometimes it's just really hard to have a life outside of the office. But like you said, especially if you work tightly on a case together, well, if things don't work out, like you're still going to have to work tightly together, and then it's going to be problematic. So I think that's an issue. Now, you brought up affairs. Let me ask yeah. you something about that. So there was also a Business Insider article recently, and that one talked about dating at work, but it was about a woman who left her marriage for somebody that she met at work. Now, do you want to say a few more words about workplace affairs generally? Are they even more of a recipe for disaster than your average regular affair outside of work?
Well, yeah, I would say so, because the spurned spouse knows where that person works. And so if they want to act a fool, they easily could, you know, show up at that person's work, call that person's workplace, cause problems. And I've certainly seen stories of that happening, you know, and so I think that's one reason why not, is just thinking, I mean, I think there's lots of reasons why not, because it also means, to the extent that other people find out about it, there may be whatever judgment they might naturally have about somebody who has an affair, which some people do judge that, you know, now you're being judged by your coworkers, people who you're going to depend on for things in the future and who you need to respect you in some kind of way. It just, look, if you're going to do something like that, but you're doing it in a way that your coworkers haven't, like, don't think, oh, this is just a new relationship for you. They know that you were married or this person was married and now you're together. I just think it really, I do think it's worse than even just like the standard dating somebody at work, because for each of those reasons. I mean, those are just some things I can think of off the top of my head. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like so many things can go wrong, even more than, like you said, than dating at work generally, and even more than an affair outside of work, yeah. right? Like, because like it just, there's that potential for drama, you know.
Yeah.
There's this famous story floating around like legal academia where these well-known two professors were having an affair with each other, and he was married to someone else. And look, I have no idea if this is true or not, because this is a story that allegedly happened many years ago, but where the wife showed up at work, I believe, I think that's the story I was told, and essentially told the other woman, leave my husband alone. And then this woman replies like, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so this is just like showdown, and maybe it's been, you know, the story has been blown out of proportion in retellings, etc. Right? I have no idea, but I've not heard it firsthand, right? But just imagine this kind of showdown in like an office, like in a, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, there was also, unfortunately, there was a potential for violence, you yeah. know, in these kinds of situations and
yeah.
things like
I mean,
that.
Look, like, we don't mean to like
it's a terrify
people, like, but like, yeah, it is a possibility. And what you said about, like, you don't know this, like, I literally have known somebody who I don't think she maybe fully knew that the guy was on and off with his girlfriend, and I do think they were slightly off when he hooked up with this, with mm-hmm. this girl, but when they were immediately back together and the girlfriend found out, I mean, she was, and they all worked at the same place in different departments, all three of them, but the girlfriend was seeking out the hookup, and the hookup was very freaked out about it. Understandably, she was like, this is my workplace. Like, I don't want to have these conversations here. The girlfriend was like, yeah, well, I need to know like what you guys did, because that's going to determine, like, you know, I need to know if he's lying to me, we're on and off. And, you know, and so she felt perfect, like, well, I know where to find you. And so I'm asking you these things because I need to know this for my relationship. And, you know, the hookup was the one who was like, well, leave me alone, it's my workplace. And meanwhile, I am like, what did you expect? Like, you know, you can't make or leave you alone. I do think, now, to be fair, like, I do think they weren't together at the time, or at least that the hookup didn't believe that they were together. But, you know, be cautious, because again, if people know where to find you, they absolutely can bring drama, and you can't be totally shocked if that happens.
Well, and I also want to go back to what you said earlier about you think you know people at work,
yeah,
but do you? So they might also be telling you things about their private lives, and whether, I don't know, let's say they're partnered, like in this affair scenario, or even outside of it. Like, you have no idea if it's true. Like, don't believe in that kind of false sense of familiarity necessarily, right? Like, you don't know what they've got going on that they're not sharing, or that they maybe made sure to keep a secret. I mean, when you think about, you know, how we had in our very early episodes, remember when we were talking about catfishing, and essentially, like, we talked about one individual who led a double life, and even his coworkers didn't know, and they all thought this guy was divorced when he was actually married and like having a child with someone else. And
yeah,
so you don't, I mean, yes, I agree, there are things you know beyond what's on the dating apps, but that doesn't mean you know everything. Yeah, okay, maybe totally. They can't lie to you about their job, fine, check, yeah, right? Yeah. But beyond that, like, I mean, some people are freakishly good at keeping secrets and at leading double lives and doing all sorts of things. So again, don't assume that you know things that you may or may not know. So I would say things like, you know, how much mobility do you have in your job should be a factor. Like, if you know this is it, I can't really leave this job, like, then it should be like a really big no-no. If it's like, you know, I mean, when you think about what was Blockbuster for you, right? Your livelihood did not depend on it, right? In that sense. But for some person, it might, yeah, right? The same exact job might for someone else. Yeah. And so I think all of these things should factor into it. But a lot of the time, it's just going to be, it's just dangerous. Like, you're just playing with fire. And look, I think, I get it how we ended up here. The article, the Fortune one, also talks about sort of how the dating app industry has been stagnating and has in fact been losing users, and Match has lost a lot of its market value, right? And all of that. And yeah, I mean, that industry is in trouble, and there are some really good reasons for that we've discussed throughout the show. But that, like you said earlier, is work really the next go-to place for that? Now, another thing, by the way, what about like asking someone from work to introduce you to somebody outside of work? I know we've talked about matchmaking some, but you want to talk about it from the work angle?
Asking somebody from work to introduce you to somebody outside
of
work?
To their friends. Yeah. To like matchmake you, or like, that's pretty tricky too. I don't like it. As I'm asking it, I don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd say the same as I did when we talked about just matchmaking in general, of understand that the dynamics can change in your friendship as a result of that. And are you willing, is it worth it for you, the potential of that friendship changing just because somebody's hot, you know, or seem nice? Like, there's lots of hot people out there. There's lots of nice people out there. Like, maybe it would do you some good to go find somebody on your own where you don't have these connections. I just think people minimize the likelihood of it not working out. And like you said, they're thinking more in the short term than really what the likelihood of this playing out in the long term would look like. And if they knew how it was going to turn out, you know, would they still make the same decision? I don't know. My thoughts on that are there's probably better ways to match make that doesn't create a weird dynamic for you with the person you do work with.
You know, I think I just had another thought based on what you just said, which is one of the differences between Gen Z and, let's say, our generation is, like, they haven't accumulated as much of the statistical evidence yet in their lives
yeah.
of how many relationships fail. So I think that's part of why you and I look at it differently maybe than some younger people, because we've yeah. seen, like, okay, here are relationships and even marriages, right? That didn't yeah. necessarily work out. Whereas if you're, like, a younger person and you've maybe not had that many breakups yet, you're still a little more optimistic about
yeah.
that. Yeah. And so you don't think about the negative consequences as much. But look, like, if you were to say, okay, fine, like, people are tired of apps, like, they don't want to meet people at work, we go back to find activities that involve people of whatever gender you're trying to date, right? Make sure it's something where they're hanging around, and see if your friends outside of work maybe can introduce you to more people. Like, just grow your network. That's yeah. just always so advantageous, like, both personally and maybe even professionally, right? It's funny, right? The other way around, by trying to find people to date, you might actually along the way make contacts that are professionally useful. And I think that's fine, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's much better than the other way around. But yeah, I think here we're sort of sounding a note of caution for, you know, young people and for older people, although maybe yeah. older people are sort of realizing it more.
That I really think that's right. You know, another thing that I just want to point out from that Business Insider article, which was the one where the lady said, you know, I left my husband for somebody I met through yeah. work, and now I'm married to him and everything turned out great. Like, if you look at, like, the section headings for that, the last one was, if you meet your soulmate at work, go for it. And I also just want to caution people who did have successes where they did meet their soulmate or their partner or whatever, and they're currently in a happy relationship with that person. Look, I still think, be responsible. Don't encourage people based on your experience as if your experience reflects what's likely to happen for other people. I think it's so important, if this did work out for you, to be mindful that you're probably the exception and kind of look around your own life to see how true that might be. I just think it's such irresponsible advice to give somebody else, to say, go for it if you meet your soulmate at work. Sure, if you knew they were your soulmate, I guess. But, you know, like we talked about,
no,
to tell that from day one when hormones are raging, when you don't know this person inside and out yet. I just would say, even for those who are thinking, no, I met my partner at work and it turned out great for us, please recognize that your experience is not something that other people should make major life decisions based upon. So it's one thing to say it worked out for me, but you do not need to go to the level of being like, therefore you too should do it. I just really want to caution our listeners about that as well.
If you knew basically how many times this week I have had to make that exact point in other contexts, okay, not this one, but it's like, no, we cannot go by the anecdotal evidence of what happened to one person. Yes, it worked for you. Let's look at the statistics. Let's yeah. see what the bigger, and just over and over and over again, I've had this conversation, and it's, you know, this is part of my, like, general rant, I guess, how I feel like everybody should take a class in, like, research methods yeah. and or statistics.
It's literally, like, what we talk about week one in research methods. It's how anecdotal evidence is
exactly.
not what we should base our decisions off of.
I mean, it was one of the most, I wouldn't even necessarily say it was one of the most fun classes I took, because it wasn't, but I definitely think it was one of the most useful classes that I took in
critical
college.
Thinking. Yeah.
It really is. And so, I'm glad you brought up this point, because there is one more thing that I want to say too, which is, this entire thing ultimately often revolves around, once more, the mistaken idea of a soulmate. right? And the more you feel like, no, I must date this person at work because they might be my soulmate. And it's like, no, like, even if this person is someone you might be compatible with, it is probably not the only person that you're going to be compatible with. Like, there are going to be other people out there. And so just, you know, just really, and especially, Michelle, like you said, if it's a job that you like, yeah, and or if it's a job that you depend on, like, yeah, just generally just don't.
I would agree. We are in agreement on this. Our recommendation is probably don't. Under those conditions, like, especially.
If you enjoy this podcast, please rate it 5 stars so that others have a chance to listen to it as well. And make sure to subscribe so that you can get our future episodes. All our platforms are accessible at strangersoninternet.com. Again, that's strangersoninternet.com. There's no the in there. You can become a part of our community by joining the Strangers on the Internet Facebook group or following us at Swipe Strangers on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, or Mastodon, or we are on the Faustodon server with 2 S's. We also appreciate support to defray our costs to run the podcast. You can help us out at Swipe Strangers on ko-fi.com, which is ko-fi.com. I would like to thank my husband, Carl Sfrini, for sound editing, as well as Vlad Kuzhuklu for permission to use his music for this podcast. Bye, everyone.
Bye.